I think that one of the greatest needs in our Christian experience is to recognize how near God is to each one of us. A lot of times when we look up at the stars at night, we're prone to think, well, God's throne is out there somewhere in the heavens. But it seems so far away. The heavens are so vast. Even our own Milky Way galaxy is so vast, and we're not sure that His throne is in the Milky Way galaxy. It may be in one of the other galaxies. And so man oftentimes gets the impression that God is far away, far off from him. That is a wrong concept of God. God is very near to each one of us. I think that we make a mistake when we think of God and we think of heaven in a materialistic sense. That is, material and substance like we understand material and substance, made up of the molecules and atoms and so forth that we know. The scientists tell us that the very nature of the atom is such that there is in reality much more space than solid matter. And it would be perfectly possible for two worlds to coexist at the same time, at the same place, each one passing through each other, both unconscious of the other's existence, only dwelling in a different molecular structure. In other words, there could be worlds, universes, that are not made up of protons and electrons and neutrons. A whole different molecular type of a structure that could be passing right through our world, and we could be passing right through that world, that these worlds could coexist at the same time in the same place. Not only does science declare that that is a possibility scientifically, I declare to you that it is a reality. That there is a spirit world, that it does exist, that it coexists with our world, and that God is very close to you. In fact, He totally surrounds and envelops you. You cannot escape from that all-prevailing, pervading presence of God. When Paul was talking to the philosophers there in Athens, he spoke to them of the God who created the heavens and the earth. And he said, "For in Him we live, we move, we have our existence, we have our being. We live in God, we move in God, we have our existence in God." Daniel said to King Belshazzar, "And the very God in whose hand thy breath is, you have not glorified." How close is God? The very breath that you take is controlled by Him. God is so near. God is so close to man. Now, we need to develop this consciousness of the nearness of God and of the closeness of God to our lives. We should not have that concept that God is so far away. Oh, if I could only touch God, if I could only reach God, If God could only hear me. But we think of God as being remote and distant from us, when in reality, God is right here among us, so close to us. So Moses, in talking to the people, said, you mustn't think of God as being so remote and far. The commandment of God as so ambiguous. For God is very close to you, and God wants you to love Him. God wants you to obey Him. God wants you to walk with Him. You see, God really wants you to know Him. Now, the man who says that he is an agnostic, he is an agnostic not because God can't be known. He is an agnostic because he hasn't sought to really know God. For God is knowable. In fact, God wants you to know Him, and to this end, God has revealed Himself to man in His Word. So if you don't know God, it isn't because God isn't knowable, it's because you have chosen not to know Him. Jesus said, seek and ye shall find. And every man can discover God and a real relationship with God if he'll only seek, but many have not truly sought. And they try to just pass off their laziness or their indifference to God by saying, I'm an agnostic. But that doesn't mean that God can't be known by that individual if they will only but seek to know Him. God can be known. God wants you to know Him. And God isn't far off and remote. He isn't some abstract essence dwelling far off in space. But He is a loving Father who wants His child to take His hand and to walk with Him. He's near you. He's close to you. Now, the commandment of God, Moses said, is not hidden, and neither is it far off. The path of life is not difficult to discover. It's very close to you this morning. It's very near to you right now. When he talks about life, and Moses said, I'm putting before you the issues of life and good, death and evil. But when he talks to us about this life, he's talking to us not about breathing and your heart beating and the functions that man usually referred to as life. He's talking to you about a quality of life, a spiritual life, which is life in fellowship with God. When he's talking about death, he's not talking about your heart stopping its beat. He's talking about a spiritual death. Not walking with God, not having that life of God within you. And Moses said, I'm putting before you today issues of life, issues of death. But this life that I'm talking to you about, it's involved in the keeping of the commandments of God. Now, what is the commandment of God to me? What does God require of me? First of all, in verse 16, he said that you love the Lord thy God. And that you walk in all of his commandments and statutes and judgments. And that you walk in his ways. In verse 20, he repeats the same thing. Basically, that you love God and that you obey God. And that you hold on to God or cleave to God. You stick with God. Now these are the things that God basically has required of you if you are to know God's life and fellowship with God. And you're to have this quality of life yourself. You must first of all love God. And then walk with God. And walking with God would involve walking in harmony with God, which means keeping his commandments. Now, God has not hid the truth from man. So many times men create sort of a maze. God is at the end of the maze. He's the reward. And if you can make it through this whole maze, you'll receive the reward. You'll discover God. And I look at the maze of the religious systems of man. And they always make God so unapproachable. They make God so far away. You've got to be some kind of a mystic and have some kind of a transcendental experience where you almost leave your body and you're projected out into the universe and you become sort of a one in essence with the universe, and out there somewhere you come into a mystic union with a power, with a force. He's far off in heaven. You've got to go up and then you've got to come down and reveal the truths of God to man that you had in these mystical trances. He said, no, it's not difficult. It's not complicated. The truth of God isn't hid from you. It's there. It's plain. It's not over the sea someplace that you've got to travel to India, to Tibet, and talk to the holy men and let them give to you these secrets of the universe that they have discovered while meditating in their little cubicles. No, the truth of God is so open and so plain and so easy that you don't need some guru. Some dummy like me can understand what God wants and what God requires. He's made it so that simple people can understand him. It's only men who have made the complicated maze of the religious systems and made God so hard to discover. In reality, God is very close. He's very easy for you to find. In fact, he's as close as your mouth and your heart. So don't say, who's going to ascend into heaven? That is to bring God's truth down to us. Or who will go over the sea? That is to discover God's truth and bring it back to us. But the word is very close unto you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart. I have heard so often people condemn themselves with their own mouth. I've heard people say things like this. Oh, I know that it wasn't right for me to do that. I know that I should be living a better life. I know that I should be walking with God. I know that I should be serving the Lord. What are you testifying to? You're testifying to the fact that God has put His commandment right in your heart. You know what is right. You know that you should be doing the right thing. Why? Because God has planted that commandment. It isn't far off. It isn't remote. It isn't ambiguous. He has put it right there in your heart, and you've confessed. Whenever you said, well, I know I shouldn't have done it, you're confessing to the fact that God's commandment was there. You knew it. So close to us. I know that I should live a righteous life. I don't believe that any man with a sound mind has ever killed another man without having to deal with his conscience, knowing that what he did was wrong, and having to somehow wrestle with this sense of guilt. And somehow work out this sense of guilt in his own mind so that he could live with himself. But it took a lot of wrestling within himself. That sense of guilt was there. I don't think that a person tells a lie, but what he doesn't have that sense of guilt. And that's why you try to rationalize to yourself the reason why you told a lie. Oh, well, the truth would have hurt them so bad, it was better to tell a lie. Or they would have gotten so upset if I told them the truth. Better to lie and keep things smooth and all. In other words, you rationalize the lie. You've got to rationalize it because somehow you know that telling a lie is wrong. How do you know? It's there in your heart. No one commits adultery but what? In their heart they know they've done the wrong thing. And you have to wrestle with it. You have to rationalize it. You've got to somehow live with it. And thus you're twisting and turning to try to rationalize and justify what you have done. But the very fact that you're wrestling with it shows that in your heart you know that you did wrong. That's why God said, hey, the commandments aren't way off somewhere, something that are ambiguous you don't understand or know. There's something that God has written right on your own heart, and you're violating that commandment that God has written upon your heart, and you've confessed so many times. Oh, I should not have done that. I knew that I shouldn't have done that. You know, I just knew that I shouldn't do it. But you did it. And in doing it, you disobeyed the commandment of God. And in disobeying the commandment of God, you no longer were walking in harmony with God, and thus you became alienated from God, and in your heart you feel like you're so far away. And God seems so remote now and so far from you now. You haven't been walking with Him. Now there are many, many who come to me and say, Chuck, tears running down their cheeks. They say, Chuck, I love God. And I believe them. I'm certain they are sincere. I don't doubt their sincerity one bit. As they say, I really love God, Chuck. And I want to walk with God. This crummy old flesh of mine, I just can't seem to stop I just can't seem to change. I just have this situation or this problem. And they begin to tell the situations that have gotten them trapped. And their desire is for God. They love God. They want to walk with God. But the issue of obedience or sin is there, and it is hindering their fellowship and their life with God. And Moses said, I'm putting before you issues of life and issues of death. It's life if you'll walk in them. It's death if you disobey them. And I've disobeyed. And I feel that alienation from God within my heart. And yet deep down I still love God and I want God. But I weep over the weakness of my own flesh and my own failures of my flesh. Does God have any hope for me? It is interesting to me that Paul took this very passage in the New Testament and quotes it in the New Testament. And then puts a little addition to it. He said, don't think that God is so far away from you that you can't reach Him. That God's salvation is unattainable. Don't say, it must be somewhere in heaven. Who will go up to heaven to bring it down to us? Or it must be across the sea. Who will go across the sea to bring it back to us? But Paul said, it is close to you. It's as close as your mouth and as close as your heart. Quoting from Deuteronomy. For he said, for if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How close is God? How close is salvation to you this morning? It is just this close. If you'll just confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Lord, I'm turning my life over to you now. I recognize that I don't have the power or the ability to live the way that you want me to live. I need help. I'm turning myself over to you. You are now going to become the Lord of my life. And if you'll confess with your mouth the Lordship of Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Some of you today feel so far, far away from God. It seems that God is so remote, so unapproachable, so untouchable by you. Not so. God surrounds your life this morning, and He's reaching out to you. And all He wants is that you in turn respond and reach out to Him. Your problem isn't a problem of love. Yes, you love God. It isn't a problem of desire. Yes, you desire God and that life of God and that fellowship with God. Your problem is in that area of obedience to the commandments of God. There is where you have failed, and there is where your fellowship has been broken. But God, because He loved you, has provided for that failure in Jesus Christ. And God is still very close to you today. All you have to do is use your mouth to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And just believe in your heart. God raised him from the dead. And that God who seems so remote and far off, you'll find is right there, touching you. You'll sense His presence. You'll sense His warmth. You'll sense His love, that nearness of God. And suddenly your life will just be enveloped and enclosed in His arms of love. And you'll just know that security of God's embrace as He holds you close to Himself. And you can look up into His face and say, "Oh God, I do love You. And I want to serve You." And He will help you. That's why He's there. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for Your nearness to us this morning. So close. Father, help us not to turn our back, but to turn our face towards Thee. And those today who have been wandering, roaming through life, and who have felt so far removed from God, may they sense even now Your love and Your presence as You're reaching out once more to them, offering them Your hand, Your love, Your help. And may they discover that help of God today, that they might know life and good through Jesus Christ our Lord. For we ask it in His name. Amen.